Good evening, you're watching The Buck Stops here. I'm Amitabh Bravi.
Good evening, I am Neha Khanna. Our big focus tonight, a 90-year-old tradition is about to become history. In a major sartorial shift and indeed an image makeover, the khaki shorts, so closely identified with the RSS for 9 decades, are set to make way for brown trousers.
The reason for this makeover, well, many in the Sangh feel that young men are simply not getting drawn to the organization because of the dress code. So we're asking, from shorts to pants, what's really changing for the BJP's ideological parent?
It's now official. After almost 9 decades, the khaki shorts that had come to symbolize the identity of Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh is now out. The Akhil Bharatiya Pratinidhi Sabha, the highest decision-making body of the RSS, finally gave its stamp of approval to brown trousers as the new dress code for its cadres at the last day of the RSS meet in Nagaur in Rajasthan.
उसने कई बातों में हमने समय-समय पर परिवर्तन किया है परंतु इस बार एकदम ध्यान में आएगा ऐसा एक मेजर परिवर्तन आया है कि जो ध्यान में आता है हमने परिवर्तन तो छोटे-छोटे हमेशा होते रहते हैं तो हमने इस बार खाकी शॉर्ट जिसको खाकी हाफ पैंट कह सकते हैं उसकी जगह पर एक ब्राउन कलर की फुल पैंट को हमने अपने गणवेश का हिस्सा बनाया है.
The change in dress code wasn't easy. In the last 1 year, the Sangh top brass has been trying to build up a consensus on the change in dress code. There was huge debate on the colour to be chosen, from blue to grey and finally to brown. The chosen colour quite close to earlier khaki colour. Perhaps the Sangh trying to send right political message and negate the argument that it was diluting its ideology. The Sangh has been toying with the idea since the top brass felt that for drawing more youths to the shakhas, a change in dress code was necessary. But how would the cadre take the change in colour code? RSS says the Sangh believes with time certain changes need to be accepted.
At the 3-day meet, many important resolutions were adopted. Resolutions on affordable healthcare, affordable education and also social equality. Also the issue of JNU and Hyderabad University. But many believe that the Nagaur meet would be known more for a historical decision, a change in the dress code. In Nagaur, with camera person Natpal Parmar, Rohit Ban for NDTV.
Meanwhile, senior Congress leader Ghulam Nabi Azad has kicked up a major row by drawing parallels between the RSS and terror outfit the Islamic State.
Addressing a conference organized by the Jamiat Ulama-e-Hind in Delhi, Mr. Azad said his party opposes the Islamic State just the way it's been opposing the RSS. That remark evoked sharp responses from both the RSS and the BJP.
तो हम ऐसे ISIS वाली जैसी संगठनें हैं उनका भी उतना ही विरोध करते हैं जितना हम RSS का करते हैं. लिहाजा ये मजहब की लड़ाई नहीं है. हमारे बीच में भी इस्लाम में दुनिया में कोई गलत काम करता है तो वो RSS से कम नहीं. इसलिए वो हिंदू फिरका परस्ती हो, वो मुस्लिम फिरका परस्ती हो, फंडामेंटलिज्म हो या सिख फिरका परस्ती हो, हमने सब फिरका परस्तियों का मुकाबला करना है क्योंकि वो दुनिया के लिए और हमारे मुल्क के लिए कैंसर का काम करते हैं.
आरएसएस का ये आलोचना या विरोध नहीं है या ये बयान जो है, इस बयान के पीछे जो है वो सेकुलर सियासी सुरमाओं की जो बैंकरप्सी है, जो दिवालियापन है, वो प्रतीत होता है. और उन्होंने जो है आरएसएस का विरोध नहीं किया है बल्कि आरएसएस के विरोध के नाम पर आईएसआईएस का समर्थन किया है. ये लोग हैं, कभी जो है ओसामा जी के लिए विलाप करते हैं, कभी अफजल गुरु को जो है वो महिमा मंडित करते हैं, कभी इशरत जहां जैसे आतंकवादी के जो है पक्ष में खड़े हो जाते हैं. तो हमें लगता है कि कोई बहुत आश्चर्य वाली बात नहीं है.
So what does this RSS makeover really mean? To talk about that, we are now joined by Sambit Patra of the BJP, Sanjay Jha of the Congress. Here in the studio with us, Rakesh Sinha, RSS ideologue and senior journalist and commentator, Joy Bose. Mr. Sinha, if I could come to you first. Of course, the change that everyone is talking about is very interesting. But the question that many would ask is, would a change of dress code be really enough for an effective image makeover for the RSS? For example, at a time when the RSS was holding this crucial meet, you had a senior leader of the Congress drawing parallels between the RSS and ISIS. So parties like the Congress continue to paint the RSS as a Hindu fundamentalist organization.
Here, Ghulam Nabi Azad, whatever he said, you can call it a loose remark, you can call it a polemics. But sometimes you use loose remarks and polemics consciously or unconsciously without imagining there is consequences. You can abuse RSS, and they have been abusing RSS, fascist, communal, Nazi. These are the old slogans they have been repeated for the last 60 years. Now nothing left in their bag. So they have new thing that it is equally, it is they are comparing with ISIS. But they have forgotten that by comparing that, they are giving logic, ground, respectability and legitimacy to an organization. It is the collective responsibility of all Indians to create a deterrence against ISIS. They are trying to attract our Indian youths, Indian Muslim youths. We are creating collectively deterrence. We have all anonymity on that. But Ghulam Nabi Azad had done a great damage to this effort. He has given legitimacy. So I am not only condemning, I seek apology from Sonia Gandhi, Congress President.
You because warned, in fact,
I seek apology
the
from Sonia Gandhi.
May turn yeah. even,
because more. You are calling fascist, Nazi, these are all polemics. We are used to these polemics. But you are going to such an extent. This is not a polemics. He might not have imagined that consequences. But right. this is a consequence. So he should withdraw his statement. Unless he withdraws his statement, Sonia Gandhi apologizes for that.
You want I that think the discourse will get
yeah,
even
this
more.
Discourse will continue.
Yeah. Sanjay Jha, if I can get you in there now. Ghulam Nabi Azad was trying to make a parallel in the sense that the RSS is dividing the country as Islamic State is dividing both the Muslim world and the world at large itself.
Well, you know, Amitabh, I think Mr. Ghulam Nabi Azad is not the first person, to be honest, who's compared the RSS's extremely hardline religious fundamentalism to the ISIS, because I remember eminent historian Professor Irfan Habib said that, leaders of the JDU have said that, other political parties have questioned the secular credentials of an organization that comes up every day. Mohan Bhagwat has been on record, I don't know how many times, to say India is a Hindu Rashtra. Now here is Mohan Bhagwat talking about Hindu Rashtra, which we all know.
But Sanjay Jha, if I could
just
interrupt
the same way
you
the ISIS
for just
is talking
a moment.
About an Islamic nation.
Sanjay Jha, if I could interrupt you for just a moment before we bring in the other panelists, you could disagree with the RSS sure. ideology, but are you seriously comparing the RSS with the most dreaded terror outfit in the world, which is responsible for brutally murdering scores of innocent people?
But no, you see, Neha, the critical point here is the ideological indoctrination that is going on. Please remember this, that even where ISIS is concerned, all organizations, in fact, all Muslims have condemned it for, you know, bringing a certain perversion to the Islamic faith. You know, it's really got violent manifestations. If you look at the RSS issue that Mr. Azad has commented on, he talks about this, you know, this entire distortion of the great religion of Hinduism, which the RSS makes it into Hindutva, and Mohan Bhagwat goes on record, and the Prime Minister, by the way, endorses it, because he talks about a Hindu Rashtra, which is a Hindu nation,
Neha,
which is anti-Indian constitution, and can have serious communal consequences in the country at some point of time.
Neha,
I mean,
Neha,
if I was a minority person, I would feel extremely flustered and insecure that the constitution of this country is being defied in broad daylight,
all right,
and the RSS is going on a flagrant attempt to popularize this hardline ideology.
Stated ideology, Hindu Rashtra, that is an adjective of India, not an objective. So it is not a theocratic. There can be a debate on Hindu Rashtra.
But
you are comparing with ISIS, as you rightly pointed out, the most dreaded organization in the world. And I say, here, apart from ideology and the differences of ideology, we all Indians are trying to create a deterrence. And Ghulam Nabi Azad, and Sonia, why Ghulam Nabi Azad? Because he has brought a, jisko hum Hindi mein kehte prem patra, a love letter to that jamaate. And after that, he created such an outrageous remark. I seek apology from Sonia Gandhi. There cannot be any.
Sanjay, I will come to you, but Sambit Patra, can we go back to where we started? Sure. In fact, how does the BJP view what's happened in the RSS conclave?
No, as far as this comment of Mr. Azad is concerned, let me first come to that and thereafter we go to the conclave. Because this is a very serious issue. And as the congressmen have been saying since yesterday, that don't take Mr. Ghulam Nabi Azad lightly. He's a very senior and a seasoned politician. They're absolutely right. It is not a slip of tongue that he spoke this. It is by design that this was brought into the forefront. Why I say this was by design, that ISIS and RSS were compared? Please go back to 26/11 in Mumbai. When 26/11 in Mumbai happened, Mr. Digvijay Singh went to Mumbai and said that this is a RSS ki sajish. It was not Pakistan, but it was RSS which did it. And you remember, in the presence of Sonia ji and Rahul ji, none other than the then Home Minister, Mrs. Sushil Kumar Sinde, went to the extent of saying that, well, terror camps are run by RSS. If you remember rightly, terror camps in RSS, this went up in the parliament as well. So naturally, when today, remember, Mr. Azad is more Gulam than Azad. So right. When Mr. Gulam Nabi Azad says about ISIS and RSS, this is an escape route that the Congress is trying to provide to Pakistan and ISIS. That Mr. Sanjay Jha has to explain. Why? On behest of whom? Mr.
Sanjay Jha, 20 seconds to you for a quick rebuttal, because then I need to go to Ajoy Bose, who's been waiting patiently.
Well, you know, I can understand why the BJP and the RSS are flustered when they have to face home troops. This, the RSS is virtually running this government. Mr. Narendra Modi is a literal puppet in the hands of Mr. Mohan Bhagwat's directives. And end of day, we all know this.
With the RSS history running the Congress,
from the way,
I
didn't interrupt you, Mr. Patra. Mr. Patra, I didn't interrupt you.
Yes.
The RSS was banned because of its extremely vitiated environment it created as a precondition to Mahatma Gandhi's assassination. We all know why Sardar Patel banned the RSS. Today, with Mr. Modi as Prime Minister, they have got free hand as a
all
carte
right,
blanche
gentlemen,
to try and push their hardline religious
agenda. And shift our focus to some of the other issues that this conclave threw up. And for that, I'd like to now go across to Ajoy Bose, a senior journalist joining us on the panel. Sir, if you could just leave aside, the controversy around Gulam Nabi Azad's remarks and focus on some of the other issues.
Yeah.
Now, it's very interesting the stand that the RSS has taken on, for example, women's entry into temples.
Right.
It's almost batting for women, saying that men and women are equal in religious matters and mindsets need to change.
Right.
Do you feel that in the days ahead, we're actually going to see the RSS in a truly new avatar?
Now, that's what we need to see, whether it's just wearing long bands now or whether you are going to really see a huge amount of change and shift in ideology. It's not only just the women, but also I am quite taken aback by Mr. Bhaiyaji Joshi's statement about reservations, where I think for the first time the RSS has been so categorical in saying that reservations are for social justice and not for affluent sections. Mm-hmm. And this acquires huge significance in the wake of the Jat agitation and also in the wake of the Patels agitating. So these have consequences, electoral consequences for the BJP, because you must remember the BJP is known as basically an upper caste party. The BJP realizes that it needs to have a social outreach. And the RSS is very much on the same page. The RSS would like to expand its base. And therefore, Ambedkar suddenly has become the flavor of the day. It is making this huge, huge effort to reach out to the lower caste, the backward caste, the Dalits, and also try and cope with the middle caste. So I think it's quite interesting to see the RSS turning around and trying to twist and turn, because remember, now the RSS, it's a totally different organization. It runs the government. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. It runs the government. Yeah. It is probably the most important outfit in the country. And we need to examine it, follow it, without getting carried away whether it's ISIS or not. I think that's a ludicrous statement. I think we need to examine it. We don't need to accept its diktat or agree with it, but we need to understand what is the RSS all about. Are there any changes?
Dr. Sinha, on the last point, now when Amit Shah meets the RSS leaders, we don't really know what's happening behind the scenes there. Does there need to be a little more transparency also?
No, this is a Parivar's meeting. This is RSS, the highest body's meeting. And all the representatives from various outfits.
Home Minister.
No, various outfits. No, they are Swayam Sevaks.
Sure.
So they come.
But if they're discussing policy, it's going to be implemented.
They participate as Swayam Sevaks, not as a minister, Home Minister or the party president. Second thing, what I want to say that, there is continuity in the RSS policy. As far as reservation is concerned, Mohan Bhagwat ji has already pointed out that there should be qualitative impact of reservation, on scheduled caste, scheduled tribe. Why not the larger masses of scheduled caste, scheduled tribe are getting the benefit of reservation? That should reach to their doorsteps. Second thing, there is a rat race for the reservation among the so-called affluent upper caste. That should be stopped. That's why he suggested there should be a review committee for reservation. It is not against at all for the Dalits or the scheduled tribe.
Mr. Sinha, let me take that to Sambit Patra. Sambit, many people believe that the RSS's stand on the issue of reservations got you, the BJP, into a lot of trouble before the Bihar elections. The RSS has once again said that the affluent need to stop demanding reservations. Now, is this something that is likely to really shape the BJP's thinking on issues such as these?
Now, as far as this notion that RSS statement in fact brought BJP to back foot is concerned, this is absolutely a mistaken notion. And in fact, it was a notion which was floated by the opposition parties in order to get some brownie points in the electorate process. And as far as the RSS is concerned, I have always been saying, since you have mentioned that RSS is controlling the government, Mr. Ajay Bose was also saying this, I would say that there is a difference between a compass and a remote control. RSS is the compass of Bharatiya Janata Party, the larger family, what we call Parivar, which guides us through the ideological process. Whereas we all know what is the remote control of Congress, which lies in a singular address. So compass and remote control have to be distinguished and differentiated.
Sanjay Jha, now compass and remote control, but in Maharashtra we've already seen, you're mentioning women getting access to temples, you've already seen the BJP government moving towards doing that.
Well, Amitabh, let me tell you, one swallow does not a summer make. And, you know, one of the most dangerous developments, you know, since you mentioned the comparison between the RSS and the ISIS, you know, for the first time in decades that I have witnessed, is, you know, fatwas coming out against fellow Indian citizens. On Kanhaiya Kumar, let's take that as a classic example. Somebody from the larger Sangh Parivar wants his tongue to be cut. He puts an award. That's the fatwa that the ISIS and the hardliners of the Al-Qaeda do. Where is the difference? You know, the ISIS wants an Islamic nation. That Mr. Mohan Bhagwat wants a Hindu nation. So they are very disturbing. These are subtle. But let me tell you, we are a democracy. We are secular and we have a certain protection in terms of what the constitution provides the citizens.
Sanjay Jha, before we talk about this JNU issue,
the RSS track record is extremely disturbing.
Especially if you
look at the Babri Masjid demolition, the Gujarat riots and the Muzaffarnagar riots.
Sanjay Jha, I want to ask you one question very quickly before we talk about the JNU controversy and the stand the RSS has taken. Will you welcome the stand of the RSS as far as the women's entry into temples is concerned? Is that something you would consider progressive?
Well, you know, I'll give you a very short answer to that. You know, there was somebody I was debating on NDTV yesterday who quoted one RSS official who said we should review Section 377. Now, how do you respond to that when you have Rajnath Singh on record saying that homosexuality is an unnatural act, we will not back the removal of Section 377. When Dr. Swami goes on record to say that the policy doctrine is that homosexuality is a genetic disorder. So, you know, this Sangh Parivar talks in forked tongues. You know, they are very politically opportunistic. They will make one statement here and three guys will contradict it another. But in the meantime, they will get the publicity.
Sanjay, you didn't really answer my question. But Sambit Patra wants to come in. Sambit, go ahead.
No, I have been amused by what Mr. Sanjay Jha has been saying, the way he has been comparing the ISIS and RSS. So in a rhetorical way, I would suggest my friend Sanjay Jha, please go and visit both the headquarters and try to study about them. But please, first go to RSS, because if you go to Syria to visit the ISIS, there is every probability that you may not return. So first go to Nagpur, study, and thereafter visit Syria and see what ISIS is
all about. So therefore, I will follow you.
You'll have all your
answers. Syria and if you come back,
But sir, the way the Congress is moving, I would, in a very amusing way, say that the Congress's
next name
should
be
Laskar-e-Sonia. Laskar-e-Sonia should be the name of Congress party.
Now, I strongly condemn this ridiculous, preposterous and absolutely outlandish statement.
I don't think we should really let the debate
Ajay Bose, now, you had brought up the point of the RSS running the government. Now, is there anything in that we should worry about?
No, it's not a question of worry. I mean, let us get back to what is happening in the RSS and the contradictions that which the RSS faces and also the BJP. You know, you must understand that Indian civil society is a very complex business.
Sure.
The RSS as well as the BJP have certain traditional voter bases. These, you know, the RSS has never tried to play caste politics. In fact, the BJP's always tried to say that we are above caste. And therefore, its USP was that we don't play caste politics, the others play caste politics. Now it is being forced increasingly to negotiate with caste politics, and is trying to do so. Secondly, by doing so and trying to do the social outreach, it could also antagonize some of the upper caste who were this thing. So, you know, must please try and understand that, you know, we tend to get carried away whether the RSS is good, bad or ugly. Now, you may disagree or agree with the RSS, I'm not, but it is a very interesting phenomenon that is happening. It has opportunities for the RSS, but it has also great challenges for the RSS. Yeah. And usually we've seen, very much like Bihar, that whenever it tries to play caste politics, the RSS and the BJP suffers hugely. And that is what happened in Bihar. Because Nitish and Lalu are far better players of caste.
Sure.
Right.
The similar thing could happen in Uttar Pradesh as well. Because you have Mulayam Singh Yadav, Mayawati, these people are master players. So I think it would be a very interesting political situation.
Are you playing a game which you're not really aware of the rules or don't really believe in those rules, but are being forced to?
Look, for RSS, it is the nation first. And we don't see in terms of the voting pattern. If we will continue to see voting pattern, then we will not be different from other political parties. And as far as Mr. Bose is concerned, who deterred that this debate and discourse on RSS? They created a perception about the RSS, and I will give me 10 seconds. There is a difference, fundamental difference between the Western discourse and the Indian discourse. Western discourse begins with the facts, then interpretation, then perception. Last perception comes. Indian discourse begins with the perception, then interpretation, and at the end comes the facts. So right. They created a perception about the RSS. They don't want to discuss the ideology of the RSS.
Okay,
they discuss the RSS.
Let me bring in Sambit Patra at this point. Sambit, we're talking about perceptions here, and you know as well as anyone else that in politics, perception matters more than anything else. Now, one criticism that's always been leveled against the RSS is, quote unquote, its undue influence over the government. For example, whether it's the HRD ministry and its functioning, the RSS is constantly accused of trying to saffronize textbooks and education institutions. Do you believe that's a perception that's not going to go away as long as the BJP is in power?
See, in fact, we have seen a previous BJP government of Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, and we have seen 2 years of Mr. Narendra Modi. So naturally, people know what the truth is. And I have pointed out by saying that RSS is a compass. It is a guiding light. It's never the dictating body. It never dictates, and people are quite clear about it. But on a larger perspective, since I have seen both the organizations in the little age of mine, whatever little I have seen, let me just share the soul and crux of it. I will tell the basic phenomena of what we call parivar, the whole parivar of Sangha. Is such that over here the party is the family. Every person from diverse background, they come, live together very simply. They are not related by blood. They are not related anyway. But they are related only by the thought process. And the thought process, as Rakeshji put, is nation first. That is what is the difference between us and Congress. Congress,
the
family is the party.
Then
Ganpat is the family and family is the party. Everything revolves around the family.
You think the Prime Minister, if need be, will be able to keep a distance from the RSS?
There's a huge difference in what we saw during Atalji's time and now. I mean, can there be any comparison? I mean, you know, anybody. I mean, we've covered Atalji's government. And we've seen this past 2 years. It's completely different. I mean, honestly, Atalji ran a government where everybody knew that a lot of senior leaders in the government were also members of the RSS.
Right.
And he did go there.
Right.
But we've never seen the army chief go to the RSS. We've never ever seen cabinet ministers go and almost read out report cards.
Right.
We haven't seen, and let's face it, I mean, you know, even the appointment of Narendra Modi or his candidature as Prime Minister was decided by the RSS.
Right.
So, to try to deny the importance of the RSS in this government is quite silly. I mean, you know, there's no point in denying it.
That perception is not going to change. But gentlemen, we're completely out of time. We'll really have to wrap up this discussion. Thanks very much to all our guests for joining us. But clearly, it seems winds of change may well be blowing as far as the RSS is concerned. Well, and finally, our netas are not exactly known for displaying camaraderie and bonhomie with their political rivals. We usually see them bickering and trading charges. But here's something that will surprise you and leave you with a smile on your face.
Since we're talking about changing perceptions, young BJP leader and Union Minister Babul Supriyo
serenading Delhi Chief Minister and AAP leader Arvind Kejriwal at the Art of Living's World Culture Festival.
ये गाना मेरे ख्याल से पॉलिटिक्स में इस वक्त जो चल रहा है इसमें काफी अच्छा सूट करेगा. सांसों को सांसों में ढलने दो जरा, धीमी सी धड़कन को बढ़ने दो जरा, लम्हों की गुजारिश है ये, पास आ जाए हम तुम सांसों को सांसों में ढलने दो जरा.
Political camaraderie there between the BJP and the Aam Aadmi Party. Who could have thought, Amitabh?
And why not extend it to other parties as well? Well, on that note, we leave you. Good night.
Thanks for watching.